Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. And today's special guest is Don Rasmussen. His latest column is sure to make many of your blood boil today. It's called The Ron Paul Problem. Rand Paul must publicly denounce his father to win the GOP nomination. But as someone who was a special assistant to the Ron Paul 2008 presidential campaign, Rasmussen is not someone whose opinion on this topic you can take lightly. Don, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
Don, what is it about Ron Paul's radical past you think Rand Paul has to reject?
It's not necessarily Ron Paul's radical past so much as the statements he continues to make, along with some of the unfortunate support he has drawn along the way. David Adams, Rand Paul's former campaign manager, rightly observed a few months ago that Rand really needs to lose about 30% of Ron's supporters if he's going to gain broad acceptance in the general GOP electorate. And I think that's right.
Well, a lot of those people definitely who are hardcores don't support Rand Paul. I see a lot of vitriol and anger and venom coming from certain portions of the Liberty movement. Those hardcore Ron Paul supporters, ones who call Rand a traitor for endorsing Mitt Romney. Are those the people you're talking about?
They're part of it, although they exist farther at the fringe. The bigger issue is Ron's own statements, like recently saying that the shoot down of Malaysia Air Flight was a Ukrainian false flag, or saying that the United States is going to see a breakup and a level of secession. As long as he continues to say this kind of stuff and Rand is forced to respond or let it stand, the problem is there's just not enough message space where Rand can stand on his own at this point and be able to distance himself from that kind of stuff. And I see it every day with GOP activists and donors and just rank and file voters that I deal with as a political consultant, that a lot of Ron Paul's more fringe ideas continue to stick to Rand, and it's very unfortunate.
Interesting.
It's going to make it very tough for him to win a GOP nomination.
The Ron Paul Institute, I don't know if you know, actually came after me. Because I criticized Paul's rhetoric on the airliner that was shot down over Ukraine, like you had mentioned. What's your take on this Ron Paul Institute? Who are these guys, and are they going to be a real big problem?
You know, I don't have any strong opinions. Ron's welcome to do what he does and to promote whatever ideas he wants, and I have immense respect for Ron Paul. I gave him 2 years of my life. I followed him since I was a little kid growing up in Texas, and no part of this article was designed to be an attack on Ron Paul. This is about tactics and what Rand Paul needs to do in order to be elected. And until there is a messaging space between him and what his father says, he's going to continue to have to respond. He's worked really hard to move to the center and become palatable to a lot of GOP voters. But whenever he says something that can be countermanded by a quote from his father, it makes it more difficult for him to really gain the trust of those rank and file that he's going to need to win a GOP nomination.
Now, Ron Paul has often denied conspiracy theories on things like 9/11, but do you think that he panders to them by appearing on Alex Jones's show, and do you think that hurt him overall?
It absolutely does. You know, it's an old saying, but it remains true today as it ever did. Politics is perception. It's not reality. And the perception remains that Ron Paul caters to a lunatic fringe, and you can say, well, it's, you know, it's a big source of money and that kind of stuff. And going on Alex Jones, which drove us nuts inside his own presidential campaign back in the day, because it does create this conflict, and it muddies the water, and it makes it more difficult to get a clear, concise, and popular political message out.
Do you think that there is a very real problem with anti-Semitism in the Liberty movement?
I think there is the perception of a real problem with anti-Semitism within the Liberty movement. I have spent a lot of years with Liberty activists and with regular GOPers, and the gulf is actually quite wide. I don't see very much anti-Semitism per se within the Liberty movement, but the perception remains, especially as it relates to Ron. And it's not direct anti-Semitism. It's intellectually consistent, but very nuanced political positions, such as, you know, we should end all foreign aid, getting turned into Ron Paul wants to leave the Israelis to, you know, hang on their own without any U.S. support or help. And, you know, unless you have a deeper, more nuanced understanding of the philosophical principles and the practical applications, it's very easy for the opponents of Liberty and the opponents of Rand Paul to message that in a way that makes it seem anti-Semitic.
What kind of denouncing do you think Rand Paul is going to have to do specifically to sort of distance himself from these followers?
Well, in the article, I drew a comparison to the French National Socialist Party, Front National. Not because I have any affection for Front National. They are absolutely disgusting as a political party and as a philosophy. But it doesn't make their tactics wrong. And what Marine Le Pen, the daughter of Jean-Marie Le Pen, the leader of the French Nationalists, did was when her father made a specific claim, she refuted that claim in a loving, understanding way. I love my father. I respect my father. But on this specific point, he is wrong.
Very interesting. So this is, again, something that's going to be very controversial, but do you have any advice for Ron Paul supporters, people who still very much care for the old man and Rand Paul, and how to deal with messaging over the next couple of years as we perhaps try and get the younger Paul the younger elected?
There is room for both Rand Paul and Ron Paul within the sphere of our political conversation. However, Ron Paul himself says change never comes from the middle. It always comes from the edges in. And his 2008 and 2012 campaigns and the incredible success of libertarianism within the GOP is evidence that that's very much true. Mm-hmm. That said, what we see with every successful political insurgency is there comes a point, in order for it to become a broad political movement, that they have to distance themselves from those fringes. Mm. The United Kingdom Independence Party today is going to enter Westminster, the British Parliament, for the first time with the Clacton-on-Sea by-election. The UKIP, is a wonderful, wonderful example of how libertarian and constitutionalist and conservative coalition insurgencies can work. And what they have done is they have maintained incredible message discipline. Whenever one of their candidates or one of their supporters comes out and says something that is off message, you know, right or wrong, if it's off message, they're very quickly slapped down. And Rand Paul needs to adopt that level of message discipline. You know, I frankly agree with most of the libertarian activists on a broad host of issues. But as a political consultant, I can't advise them to go out and talk to them. Because at the end of the day, this is about building a coalition of 50% plus one. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you have to be able to appeal across party lines. And talking about chemtrails and Building 7 is never going to do that. It's always going to divide rather than bring people together.
All right. So speaking of coalitions and numbers and things like that, you know, one of the things that they say that the people who are upset with you about this article are saying is, you know, if Rand Paul does any of this, if he denounces his dad in any way, then he's going to or distances himself. Then his father's supporters, his father's money, and his father's activists, the ones who are the boot, they're going to be hopefully the boots on the ground, will push distance themselves from Rand. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, the libertarian movement only gets 1% of the vote anyway, so maybe Rand can totally ignore the libertarians. Do you think he could?
He could not totally ignore the libertarians, absolutely not. You know, as Reagan said, libertarian remains the heart and soul of conservatism. And the ideas that are infusing the Republican Party, the new energy, the new philosophy that is bringing so many people together, is absolutely rooted in libertarianism. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is not libertarianism. What we're talking about are fringe ideas that don't need to be a part of the conversation. Again, it goes back to message discipline. I loathe almost everything about George W. Bush, but the reality is he was brilliant in his message discipline. It didn't matter what you ask him, whatever the talking point for the day was, he would stay on that. And in order to be a successful presidential candidate in the 21st century, you have to have that level of message discipline. And if you have your own father coming out saying things that are either sucking up oxygen or countering your own message, you know, that's a prohibitive problem towards getting the nomination.
Quite a fight ahead for us, those who love liberty and limited government. Don Rasmussen, thank you very much for your time today.
It's a pleasure.